I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I have tasted life's pure fountain. I am drinking of his word. I have found the strength and sweetness of abiding neath the blood. I have lost myself in Jesus. I am sinking into God. I am crucified with Jesus, and he lives and dwells with me. I have ceased from all my struggling. 'Tis no longer I, but he. All my will is yielding to him, and his spirit reigns within. And his precious blood each moment keeps me cleansed and free from sin. All my sicknesses I bring him, and he bears them all away. All my fears and griefs I tell him, all my cares from day to day. All my strength I draw from Jesus, by his breath I live and move. In his very mind he gives me, and his faith and life and love. For my words I take his wisdom, for my works his Spirit's power. For my ways his ceaseless presence guards and guides me every hour. Of my heart he is the portion, of my joy the boundless spring. Blessed Savior, my Redeemer, glorious Lord and coming King.
It was a good song, guys. Thank you very much. A lot of good words and finding ourselves in him. Tremendous words. If that were only true in our lives, though, I was trying to listen to those words and thinking about that. If we could say that, each one of those verses, about how much God's word and him and the relationship that we have with him, if we could truly say that, we would be in a great place. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I just want to start off here, getting your thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. We have spent a fair amount of time here, and I just want to start here, and then we'll go to the book of Genesis. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This morning we're going to look at not so much. We've already looked at mercy and grace quite much. But I want to introduce two things here that are going to be helpful, I think, for our invitation. As the Lord continues to lead, we're going to sing 157, which is grace that is greater than our sin. Now, we understand that sin abounds in each one of our lives. We fight the human nature. We fight our flesh on a daily basis. Our flesh is horrible. It's wicked. By the way, you understand there's nothing good about any of our flesh. You understand that? There's not one thing good about anyone's flesh. And by the way, there's no one's flesh that is any better than anybody else's flesh. My flesh is no better than your flesh. And likewise, your flesh is no better than mine. It's all equally bad. All of our flesh is 100% bad. Flesh and spirit cannot dwell together. And so when there's one, then there's lacking the other. And so all flesh is bad. And so we Sin abounds in our lives because we are flesh. Now, praise the Lord that we have victory over that flesh. We don't have to say yes to our flesh. We have the power and authority to say no to our flesh. You know that you got that authority. You've got that ability. You got that power when Jesus Christ, as he died for you on the cross, as you accepted that, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, and now you have the ability to say no to it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Okay, so we see there that victory. There's nothing that can come into your lives that you're not able to get victory over. And we only have that ability through the power of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit coming and living inside of us. And so, therefore, where sin abounds, and it does, God has provided two things for us to abound more. And that is mercy and grace. And so this morning, we see two things to combat two bad things that we, or two things, I shouldn't say bad things, because in and of themselves, they're not bad, but two things that we have to use mercy and grace for in two areas of our lives. Two areas in which we struggle with. Now follow me in this pattern of thinking. Number one, we have people in our lives that have hurt us. People in our lives that have or maybe are hurting us. I don't doubt at all that everyone in the room has been hurt by someone. Every single person in the room has been hurt by someone. That is just, it's a fact of life. It's not a good fact of life. It's not right. It's not that God was wanting it. God doesn't ordain hurt. He doesn't say, hey, this is going to be good for this person. I want you to go hurt. God does not ordain sin. Okay, but it's a fact that we get hurt, right? Have you gotten hurt in the past? I have many times, and we continually are people. Because we're people, we get hurt. And so there are two areas we struggle. We struggle with people in our lives. And I could look around the room, and I don't know. Maybe some of you I know. You know, maybe you've told me about certain people. But for the most part, I don't know the people that have in the past or that are currently actively hurting you. Again, I might know a few situations if you've shared that with me or I'm aware of it in some way. But for the most part, I don't know who has hurt you or who hurts you. But I do know that there are people that have hurt you, and there are going to be people that will hurt you. And so we struggle with people. And think just for a moment, how do we struggle with those people? It's hard. When they hurt you, especially when it's been over and over again, and there's disappointment in there, and they say things, they'll go against you, or they're not thinking godly about something, and they do this, and it's hard because we feel like I've just been acted upon wrongly. And by the way, take note of this: we're not justifying anything that anybody does and saying that it's right. This is one of the amazing things that makes God so amazing, is because God has the ability to take something that's negative and turn it into something good. But that does not mean that God ordained that negative thing. He doesn't cause sin. And that is a theological debate that many people discuss. And depending on your type of theology, you would come to maybe a different conclusion. But can I tell you, the Word of God does not teach. I mean, it says in the book of 1 John that in Him is no light at all, or in Him is no darkness at all. He's all light. He's 100%. He can't have any darkness. God could never orchestrate sin. It would go against who He is. It's, again, one of those things that God cannot do. God does not orchestrate sin, but I will tell you that God certainly will take that and He will use it for good in our lives. And He can turn it. He has the amazing ability to turn darkness into light. And so that's what God does. And so the hurt that people have imposed. Do not take anything this morning as God caused that. But certainly God is there when a person sins and does something. God certainly is there to take it and use it for you and your life for good. People in our lives hurt us. And dealing with those people and knowing how to handle it and to go through is very difficult. Especially when it's active. Especially when the wound is fresh. There are people in this room, I know, that still have wounds from people from your childhood. You might be an older person here today. There are things that were said, and that you could repeat those things that were said that were so hurtful to you. It might have been the lack of words that were given to you. You know, I have heard over and over again about people that say, my dad never told me that I loved him. I do. I try to tell my kids as much as I can I love them. That's important. By the way, it's important for you to share with people in your lives that you know that you love, that you share that with them, because that is a deep sense of hurt in people's lives. That's just one example, but we need to share with the people that are close to us in our lives, and of course it needs to be true. But remember, love is not a feeling, love is a choice. And we choose to love each other, and so we want to make sure we do that. But that's just, there are things sometimes that we don't say that hurt people. And some of you in this room have been hurt in the past deeply. And we don't want to make light of that at all in this message. And it was not God's will that they sin and say that thing or take from you. It was not God's will for them. They should have never done that. And you know what? And they are, you know, held accountable. And praise the Lord that Jesus took, for if you're saved, he took that penalty away. He took that, and he's pardoned that sin. That's an amazing thing. But that doesn't make it right for them. So we're not justifying that father. We're not justifying that mother. We're not justifying that friend or that coworker. We're not justifying that at all here today. But we need to understand and learn how we deal with it. That's just flat out hard. And I find myself thinking that, you know, this person ruined this for me. You know, this person said that and they tore that apart, and now nothing good can come from that. And so the first thing, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but the first thing is people in our lives that have hurt us. And so the point this morning is not for you to try to dig up all those people, but to kind of keep them a little bit at distance in memory. Just like, okay, there were some people that have hurt me. It's always very good prudence not to try to dig up everything in our minds. And so I'm not trying to do that today. But just an acknowledgement of the people that have hurt you. The second thing that we look at are circumstances that have been very hurtful. And of course, all circumstances have to do with people, but we might not link every circumstance to a certain person. Nobody did that, but I would say if we link circumstances, it'd probably be linked to God, because God's in circumstances. And so the things that happen in our lives, sometimes we can get they're very hurtful, they're very difficult to deal with. A bitter situation that happened to you in your life and learning how to deal with that. Things that have not gone the way you thought was best for you. Dealing with both of these things is very, very difficult. And how we don't on a daily basis look at those things and say, those were mistakes, those were bad. You know, if I were to ask you how many of you had a bad day this week, some of you would raise your hand and I would say, okay, qualify that. What made it bad? We're talking about the circumstances in life. It would either come back to two things, probably somebody or something that you encountered. It is linked to a person, not so much the circumstance, just that person. Or it would not be linked to a certain person, but just that circumstance. That thing that happened. And can I tell you this morning that God has enough mercy and grace to help with all of those things. And we're going to talk specifically about people and the things that happen. And the things laid out on this throne, mercy and grace, are there to overcome and abound over those things. And I will tell you this morning that Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he accomplished that task. Now you think that nobody could, no mercy or grace could overcome the hurt that has been done to you by that person. Can I tell you that the truth of the scriptures tell us that God's mercy and grace has overcome all the bad that that person has done to you. There is more mercy and there is more grace abounding in that hurt. Both of those things, mercy and grace. And in many cases in my life, for those two things, for people that have hurt me and are hurting me, I definitely need mercy. Mercy because I have not handled in my own heart and mind that person correctly. I have had bitter thoughts. I have taken out bitter action. I have harbored things in my heart, and I need mercy. And probably every one of us needs that mercy because we have responded wrong in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies towards those people. And it's not just, you know, don't think just for a moment that this is only things that you've done to hurt them. Because I tell you that many of us, a lot of it is in our hearts and in our minds. Our wrong thoughts towards them. And God's word teaches in the Gospels that it is not just the outward things that we do. It's the inward things that we do that are just as bad. We think that fornication outwardly and physically is a horrible thing to do. And we would say that we've never done that. But how many of us inside of our minds have done things that are wrong? The same thing is true with other sins. It's not just that sin. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So just because I might not do it, you know, we can go and talk to that person with a happy smile and we can laugh, but if inside there are bitter thoughts that we're harboring, listen, we nullify that smile. The truth of the matter is we're bitter towards them. And so we need mercy, don't we? I do. I need mercy towards people that have hurt me. I need grace. I need grace to know how to move forward and how I can do right in the future. I need God's grace. I need Him to give me a gift on a daily basis. How can I do this? So, two things. We need mercy and we need grace for people. And then we need it for our circumstances, the things in life that we are struggling with and in our heart we are upset. And again, I would say that this is still linked to a person. I would just say that the person is Jesus Christ or God here. Okay? But people and things. People and circumstances is what we're going to look at. And we see also that we have mercy and grace for both of those things. Now this morning I would like to examine the character of Joseph just for a moment, who is a wonderful example to help us with these two struggles. Question, were there people that hurt Joseph in his life? I want you to think back to Joseph. Were there people that hurt Joseph? All right, who's the main, and this who might be more than one, okay? Who is the main group of people that hurt Joseph? Somebody go ahead. His brothers. You remember the story? Definitely we know that Joseph's brothers hurt him. Now we'll talk a little bit about the details of those things in here in just a moment, but let's go on. Were there other people in Joseph's life that hurt him? Who else? Okay, Potiphar's wife, right? Remember that situation? He's just doing his job. And one day he's alone and Potiphar's wife has some wrong ideas and she tries to get him and he flees and lies about him. I mean, think about that. Would that hurt? Could that happen to any of us at any time? Accused of, and I'm not even talking about the specifics of that. Can you be accused at any time of things that you never did? You ever been accused of something that you didn't do? And that's tough. That's hard. That hurts, doesn't it? I mean, and now your name is marred in front of other people. There are people that are talking about you and they're saying certain things. That is hard. Oh, there were people. Okay, so we've got Joseph's brothers. We've got Potiphar's wife. I would guess even that we could conclude from Potiphar's wife that it was probably hard that Potiphar sent him on his way, right? Had Joseph been a good servant to Potiphar himself? Yeah, he was very faithful servant to Potiphar. You know, and certainly Potiphar's going to believe me. Well, probably he's going to believe his wife. And in a sense, he should have. By the way, there ought to be a connection there. Husbands and wives, we need to be together. But regardless, Potiphar didn't believe him. And so what happens to him? He gets thrown in prison. Any other person, we're not talking about circumstances right now, we're just talking about people. Any other people that hurt Joseph? Yeah. What about those guys? Okay? You remember he did some things for them? And he said, hey, if any of you ever get out, make sure you remember me. And I always get confused which one remembered and which one didn't. Okay? The butler was the one that didn't remember. He got free. The baker, it was the butler that made it. And he was so excited about making it that he forgot to go and tell Pharaoh about him. I mean, think about that. Was that hurtful? Could that have been, let's put it that way, could that have been hurtful for Joseph? People let us down. Have you ever been let down by people? They said that they were going to do something for you and they didn't do it. They let you down. They disappointed you. They were a good friend. You thought better of them. You thought that they would stick up for you. That you thought that they would stay by you the rest of life. And now they're sitting on the other side of the table accusing you of things that you did. That's tough. Or in this case, just forgetting you. People. And maybe we could pull more people out of his story. I don't know, but those are the main ones probably that we could pull out of this story. Okay, so people hurt Joseph. Now I want you to think about this. The people there, I mean the brothers that hurt Joseph. Why was that so hurtful? I would suggest because they were his brothers. Have you noticed that it's more painful the people that are close to you when they hurt you? You know, it's one thing when the guy drives by you and honks his horn and, you know, maybe you weren't paying attention the way you should have. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong, you know, and they honk at you and, you know, do this. I remember one specific time, one guy did that to me. I'll just tell you, I can be very sensitive and even something like that. Some of you are like, I don't know that guy, I don't care about him. But for me, you know, the rest of my drive home, you know, I'm struggling, you know, because that's just the way I am. I can get hurt very easily. You know, I struggled with that. I was like, you know, that guy was upset at me and I wasn't trying to do anything, you know, or whatever. And he was doing that. We can get that way and it's easy for us to get hurt by people. But when we don't know them, it's one thing, right? But when you know that person and they're close to you, that hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to the core. And the God's word tells us, you know, concerning these people, you know, that close one, my brother, the one that I communed with, the one that I spent the time with, he was the one that stabbed me in the back. David, speaking of Absalom, my own son was the one that did this. That's got to be the most painful thing, is when close people hurt us. When close people say those things, when close people do those things. You know, Joseph with his brothers. Joseph was a young boy that wanted to, you know, it seems like he wanted to follow the things of God. Again, he was in the Old Testament, and so he didn't have the word. He didn't have, you know, we just understand that he seemed to follow God, to follow his father, and he's just trying to be the son that he needs to be. And yet the brothers, they bring up an evil report. They lie about him. They do things to him. They throw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. Sold him into slavery and let him go. I mean, think about that. Would you be hurt if you're Joseph? Of course you would. I mean, who wouldn't of us be hurt by close people doing those things? Now, I don't know about you, but I feel it would be rather difficult to get victory or have victory with people that have hurt me in the past. or continually. It's difficult for me. Now, maybe you're different than me. Maybe for you, you can just set it aside, be your own individual. For me, it's hard. And as hard as I try to get victory with this hurt over people, I still feel like I fail in my thinking right about those people. What about you? Am I the only one in here that struggles with thoughts about the people that have hurt me? Some of you are nodding. Some of you are just looking at me. I think that we would all agree that we struggle with our thoughts concerning people that have hurt us. Can we just look at Joseph just for a moment? And I want you to be willing to turn a little bit. Again, the wrongs of his brothers. You can go to Genesis. By the way, Genesis 37 starts the story of Joseph. Now, we're not going to look at 37. 37 to 50 is the story of Joseph, with the exception of one chapter. I think chapter 38 kind of takes a sidetrack. But then we get right back to Joseph, and the really 37 to 50 is about Joseph in the story. We're not looking at all this. And by the way, you don't have to worry that at 5 till, I'm going to say that was introduction, okay? I'm not going to do that one again this time. We're going to look at this. There's not a whole lot. I think we can do that in the next 15 minutes. Let's look at this. The wrongs of his brothers, you tell me. And now, again, I know you're there in Genesis. In this last half, we'll be looking at a number of passages. But you're there. But again, we have, let's list the things that Joseph's brothers, they had hatred, right? It says that they hated their brother. What else? They envied their brother. Remember the dreams? I mean, why did they hate that so bad? If they would have had the dream, would they have thought differently about themselves? Probably. Probably. You see, they envied. Of course, then they sold him and they lied about him. We already talked about the wrongs of Egypt. Potiphar, forgetful butler. Okay? So Joseph had these people. How could have Joseph responded to these people? How could have Joseph, I mean, and you say, well, the sky's the limit. Of course, how could he, how can you answer that? He could do anything, right? But how would you have responded in Joseph's place? When you were there to do your father's, you know, go see where your brothers are. Okay, yes, sir. And go and they were already planning to do something to their brother. So I don't even know if Joseph knew that, but he probably didn't take too long when Joseph arrived at the camp to realize these guys are not for me. I'm in trouble. And I don't exactly know all the actions and what all they did. When they ripped his coat off and Joseph, it didn't take long for Joseph. How would you have responded if you're there and all of a sudden your brothers are yelling at you and ripping off your coat and reminded you about things that you did, 10 years ago that night when you were dreaming or however long it took? We don't know. How would you feel? When what would you be doing? Would you be like, here, helping them take off your jacket? Would you be fighting? Would you be yelling back at them? How would you respond when there's these people that are coming at you and against you? And really, this is no light thing. Their intention was to do what? Kill him. They would have liked to just see him dead. Praise the Lord for an older brother. So they would have. That's the maliciousness that these people have. Now, you have had people in your life that I don't know if they wanted to kill you. But you've probably had some people that were against you or done some things that were really tough. How did you respond? How do you respond to those people? People can ruin us if we let them. Did you hear that? People can ruin you if you allow them to ruin you. Let's look at how Joseph responded to these people. Now, while not a whole lot is said concerning his response to the people in Egypt, Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, the butler, there's not a much, if any, response about those people. But a great commentary is given concerning his response to his brothers. All right. Do you have your Bibles out? Let's look. 42:34. And we're going to try to do this quickly, But 42:34, when you get there, tell me something that is in the verse that he did that shows a response in some way. Now, a lot of these are just outward things, but just 42 verse 24. And I'm not turning to all these. These are my notes. Hopefully I don't give you a bad verse. Okay, what did Joseph do here? Is anything it said he did? He wept. Okay, now listen. I don't believe this weeping was because he was so upset at them. Why do you think Joseph wept? I honestly believe when you look at the whole thing, I believe he wept because he was sorry for them and what they were going through. There's never any indication about Joseph thinking about himself. I don't see any. I don't see it. All I see is Joseph feeling bad for them. But here we see he wept. Look at verse chapter 43 and verse 30. We see a similar thing. What does it say there? And he wept. Go to chapter, that was 43:30. And then chapter 45, verses 2, verses 14. What are we reading here? Did Joseph have some emotion? Did Joseph have some care for his brothers? He did. And I want to say, you know, you say, well, that's just saying in a few verses. That's an amazing response. He was weeping. And again, I'm not giving you all the study, but in everything I understand, I do not believe one ounce that Joseph is weeping because he's angry at them. He's bothered at them. He's not weeping because of all the hurt that they have done to him. He is weeping because he feels bad for them. Question, is that the way you respond to the people that hurt you? That's tough, isn't it? One of the greatest protections about you hurting yourself is by caring about other people and what they're going through. You know, that person that hurt you is hurt themselves. Do you know that hurt comes from hurt? Hurt people hurt people. You say, well, that was an amazing statement. It's true. Hurt people hurt people. And when you get hurt by somebody, it's because they have been hurt. It doesn't take them off the hook, but it does give you a background. And we have to care about those people. I'll go to chapter 42 and verse 25. In fact, I'm going to give you a number just because of time. Some people could look at 42:25. Maybe some of you could look at 43 and verses 33 to 44 and kind of the main idea there. Excuse me, not 33 to 44. Chapter 43 and verse 33 to chapter 44 and verse 1, okay? So there's a few verses there. There's chapter 45, verses 10, 11, and then 22. So maybe a few in each one. And what do we see here is happening in Joseph's response to these people? He does good to them. I put it in my notes, he's blessing them, right? Did Joseph bless his brothers? Did these brothers deserve it? No. But Joseph is blessing. How did he bless them? He gave them provisions. Right away, he sent them back with money. He fed them very well. He took care of them while they were there. He sent them back. He brought them and took care of them when they were in Egypt. He gave them the best of the land. He gave them provisions. They had it taken care of. Is that how you treat the people that hurt you? Ooh, you see, that's stabbing us, right? I mean, this is like, is this the way? Do we bless the people that are hurting us, actively hurting? How are we blessing those people? I don't know about you, but I'm getting convicted as I go through this. Chapter 45, verses 4 and 10. I don't know if you'll get this one, maybe a little bit harder to understand, but what do you see? Look at verses 4 and 10. What could we conclude with this one about Joseph and the relationship with his brothers? What did he want? Okay, preserve life. Must have looked at something different. What's that?
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation. I just simply put, he wanted to be near them. You see that in those two verses? He wanted to be close to them. He pulled them in. He wanted them to be close. There was certainly reconciliation. He was not looking to separate himself. He's looking to be close to them. I don't know about you. Hey, let's all be honest humans here. Do you like being with the people that hurt you? Maybe I'm just weird, but I struggle with that. Do you know what my natural tendency is to do? I'd rather just not be there. I'd rather not talk to them. I'd rather send them a text than talk on the phone. I'd rather them go their way. I'd rather them not be involved in my life. I'd rather, why? Because we're hurt. But you see, Joseph, I'm telling you, Joseph is almost like a superhero human person here. How did he do that? Can we jump ahead, jump way to the end? What's the answer? Mercy and grace. I'm telling you, that's the only way to do it. Okay, so he wanted to be near them. Look at 45, you're already in 45, look at verse 5. And you're probably not going to get what I got here. I'll just tell you, he combated revenge with personal care. You would think that he wanted revenge, right? You did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. Rather than revenge, he cared for them. He, again, kind of like he gave them and blessed them, but he was not looking for revenge. I don't read any verse in Genesis about revenge in Joseph's spirit. But isn't that what we want to do? Don't we like when that person that hurts me, when we realize that it doesn't work out for them? How do we respond internally in our hearts? They got what they deserved, right? We might not smile on the outside, and we might. You might be far enough to where you will actively smile and you'll be like, yeah, they got it. But I'll tell you what, many of us, we're not talking about just the average, you know, we're talking about people that have hurt us to the core. And when something negative happens to them, we are looking, we are cheering on the revenge. God's given it to them now. I want to tell you, that is not Joseph. Joseph is responding with care. He's caring about these people. He wants to bless them. Look at verse 7 in chapter 45. He cared about their deliverance from troubles. I mean, not only is he not cheering on bad, he's not neutral in the matter. He's cheering on good. Now we're taking this thing too far, Joseph. Now he's cheering on when good things happen to them. I don't know, but I was left in the dust a long time ago, comparing myself to Joseph. Now Joseph, when they're thriving, he's like, God, thank you, praise the Lord, in our language, in our situation. It's like, God, thank you. Thank you that person is doing well. Are you with me that this is foreign? I mean, this is not how I respond. I'm ready to have an invitation right now. This is not the way I act. But that's what Joseph is doing. By the way, Joseph is a tremendous picture of the person of Jesus Christ. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. There was nothing in his spirit, nothing, not an ounce. Now we know that the person Joseph was not Jesus, and we know that he was human, and because he was human, Joseph sinned. But the scriptures leave that part out. We know it, but there's a wonderful picture of how we as humans are supposed to respond to hurt. He cared about their deliverance. In chapter 45 and verse 15, we see he showed affection to them. Many times, I believe in the narrative, it says that he took them and pulled them close and he kissed them. And I understand that that was different in their culture and we don't do the same. But I'll tell you, that's an amazing thing. I can't imagine doing that to my enemy here on this earth. I wouldn't, but we definitely have some affection that's there. I see Joseph's leaving us way in the dust here. 46:31, you'll not figure this one out, but you'll see it. 46:31, what did Joseph do? I mean, this guy doesn't just take them personally, but he accepts them publicly. Publicly, he's okay to talk to Pharaoh about it. He's okay to be with the rest of his Egyptian people. He's okay to, this is my family. He was proud of these people. This is all foreign to me in dealing with people that hurt me. He's proud of these people. He's going to tell other people about their goodness. He's going to say, yeah, that's my, that these are my, this is my family. But this is not how I respond to people that hurt me. Chapter 47 and verse 11, he gave them the best. Again, not just provisions, he gave them the best. And then in chapter 50 and verse 21, again, this is just repetitive. He showed kindness, such kindness. That kindness, that loving favor, that loyal favor. Loyal to the core to his family, never to renounce them. No, these are my boys and these are mine. And I'm going to be kind to them. Now listen, this is in the face of lying, wanting to kill him, ripping his coat off, selling him, being angry and bitter towards them. This is the way Joseph responded. Joseph certainly accepted the people in his life. Listen to this. He accepted the people as God's blessing. God's blessing to him. Now, I'll come back to that statement in the end. 12 o'clock again. He accepted this blessing. Okay, we can, again, let people ruin us if we let them, or we can look at people as God's vehicle to get us where we need to be. Don't miss that. I'll apply it here in just a moment. We can either let people ruin us, and we are ruined, and they go on. Or we can look at people, don't miss this, we can look at people, we can look at these people as God's vehicles to get us where we need to be. Doesn't mean that they're right, but God is using them for me in my life for good. So how are you viewing the people that have hurt you in your life? Now, for some of you, you need mercy. You say, Pastor, I need to come forward because I have not responded like that to people that have hurt me. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Then if that's you, then you need to get that right because it's sin. That's the kind of forgiveness that Jesus Christ has shown you when he went to the cross. Because friends, don't think so evil about those brothers. We have done the very same thing to Jesus Christ time and time and time again. This is not a one-time offense. We sin daily to him. Every time you sin, it's an offense to the person of Jesus Christ. Every single time. Every single time. You see, you say, but preacher, you don't understand. This person in my life, all the time, they keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going, and so do you to him. And yet, on the table is mercies that you can't even comprehend. And many of us are here today, if not all of us. We ought to be coming forward saying, God, I don't deserve it, but I need your mercy. And you know what he says? Here it is. Here's the banquet table because you've got all the mercy that you need for all that past and what you're going to need in the future. It's all here. Mercy, but also grace. How in the world? Because I can come forward this morning when we do our invitation. I can come forward and I can kneel and I can say, God, I need that mercy. But I want to tell you, when I get up and I go out, that individual could be right there and I still have to deal with it. Right? We don't come to a church service on a Sunday morning and they're gone. Nope, they're still there. God, I absolutely need your mercy, but I need your grace because I can't do it tomorrow. Do you know that the banquet table is filled with graces for you for tomorrow? He's got it. And it's more than the grace that he's got. It abounds. That's why it's so valuable to go before the throne of grace, because we have mercies and grace to help in times of need. Not near as long, but we have the circumstances in Joseph's life that, you know, we get beyond the people, but life circumstances that have not gone our way. Do you know that circumstances can ruin us if we let them? That never should have happened to me. That was not fair. We put our life into that. We did this and all of a sudden it was gone. That's not fair. God, why did you give that to us? You know, this made me late. This ruined that. You know, and we could link it to a person. That person ruined me and they ruined the chances of all this. Life circumstances that have not gone our way. We can let them ruin us if we let them. Joseph's circumstances, we don't have time to go over them. The circumstances, forget the people in Joseph's life. Think about Joseph, a young Hebrew boy, living with his parents. Could he have looked at that and said, you just ruined my chances? You know, when he's riding, you know, with the Ishmaelites, you know, in the wagon to Egypt. Think about it. Think about all the thoughts that had to be going through. My life is ruined. I'm going to Egypt. I'm going to a wicked place. I'm going there and my life is going to be ruined. I should have been back there. I had a coat of my dad's. I had life going for me. I had great dreams. God's going to do some things. And now I'm on my way to Egypt. We can let circumstances ruin us if we let them. What was Joseph's responses to these circumstances? The circumstances in life. Do we read Joseph in the wagons being like, man, my life has been ruined. No, what do we read of the circumstances? Go really quickly to chapter 45, verses 5 and 8. Pastor Dan, read verse 5 quickly for us. 45, verse 5, and then verse 8. I'll have you read both of those.
8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.
Okay, in Ezekiel, go to chapter 50 and verses 19 and 20. Chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. Gabriel, can you read chapter 45 and verse 7? Folks, look up here. When I read these, I can't help but hardly cry. Because that perspective that that guy has is amazing. It's one of the most amazing things I read about in Scripture, because you've got a guy that was hurt so bad over and over and over, and all he can say was, God did this. God's amazing. God is so good in my life. God, thank you. I mean, you don't cry, brothers. Don't worry about anything. Listen, God did an amazing thing through this. He just did this to save you and to help this, and this wasn't anything. I mean, he almost overdoes it. I mean, you didn't do anything bad. Now, come on. Yes, they did do bad. But that's his perspective. It's almost like he's just being like, you know, don't, listen, that is not what we do. That's not what I do. I'm like, this is a mistake. This is bad. You just ruined that for me. Now what am I going to do? Now I have no hope to carry this out. And all the time, that you were wrong. What a perspective that this guy has. This was right. Folks, do you realize that when we have certain things that go on in our lives, we've got to count it as God's perfect plan? You know what? We meet out there in the forum. We talk about troubles. Yeah, did you hear what happened to me this week and this happened? You know, we do this. But friends, I want to tell you something. The godly perspective is like, you know, God really must be doing something right here. I can't see it yet, but there's all kinds of good involved here. I don't know if Joseph would think of that as he was riding down with those Ishmaelites down the bumpy road to Egypt, but I can tell you when he was there in Egypt, he looked and you say, well, yeah, he saw the end of it then. Well, I don't see any of this anywhere else, even when he's in jail. You don't see it. You don't see him weeping in the corner of why I'm here. All you hear is the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all you read with this guy. My friend, I want to tell you something. That's an example and a pattern of what we ought to do. Circumstances can ruin us if we let them, or we can look at circumstances as God's vehicles to get us where we need to be. Because we know that all things work together for good. God is actually using that person. God is actually using this circumstance to get you where you need to be. Why are we so against these people and so against these circumstances? God is doing good in our lives. They are tools for God to channel us to Himself. That's why James tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations with people and circumstances, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking in nothing. That's the story. How then, as we conclude, the how is answered again in two words: God's mercy. God, please forgive me. I have not looked at the circumstances in my life in light of your perspective like Joseph. I am not saying, God, thank you. Thank you for taking away our home that we had on that acre. God, thank you for that. God, thank you for thank you for allowing my wife to be sick for the last 3 years. See, that just doesn't work. But you know what? I've messed it up 100 times. But there's more than 100 mercies for me. So the action for me today is, God, say, thank you for your mercy. I need mercy. Forgive me for the times that I have not responded properly to the circumstances in life. But God, I'm going to need your mercy tomorrow, and I'm going to need your grace tomorrow. God, would you please help me tomorrow when I'm tempted to gripe and complain about what I don't have. And his mercies and his grace are new every morning, and they're abundant more than the struggles for both people and for both circumstances. I struggle with people and circumstances, and I need God's mercy and I need his grace. I cannot help but think that you do as well. My friend, I want to encourage you, would you come to the throne of grace that you would find mercy and grace? Because it's available. You don't have to struggle with that person. You can respond like Joseph to them. You don't have to struggle with those circumstances. You can respond in a godly perspective like Joseph. Because it's the same mercies and it's the same grace. Joseph was looking ahead, we look back. Same mercy, same grace. God, help us. Help us. Help us. God, help me. I need your mercy. I need your mercy. Forgive me for the times that I have not responded right to people or circumstances. Forgive me. I need forgiveness. God, I need your grace. I need your grace for tomorrow because I cannot do this. Lord, I need you. I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please